Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the church today.
And now, the second half of Comfort for the Depressed, with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Welcome to the Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, and also serve as pastor of the Raynham Mission, which meets once a month in Raynham in Kent. I'd like to thank you for listening to and supporting Lutheran Radio with your prayers and your financial contributions. Another great way to listen to Lutheran Radio on the go is to download our apps and listen to them on your mobile devices. You can find us at Google Play, the App Store, and Windows Store. We'd like to welcome back to Lutheran Radio today Dr. Stephen Peach. Dr. Peach teaches at the Australian Lutheran College in Adelaide. And last week, we were talking to Dr. Peach about his new book of Good Comfort, which deals with Luther and his approach to those who are suffering from depression. Last week, we concluded our discussion with a look at Luther's theology of the cross. Dr. Peach, could you give us a refresher on what you mean by the theology of the cross?
Well, probably the best way to explain the theology of the cross is not by going into a theological explanation, but to try and keep it on the level of our human experience. So a lot of people with depression, or a lot of people suffering generally, actually, have a feeling that God has moved out and closed the door behind him, that he's abandoned them, or that he is far from them, or that he is even angry with them. Dealing with that sense of hopelessness, particularly if you're a Christian person or a person of faith, and you suddenly feel God's distance from you, that's a huge source of despair for people. But the theology of the cross is really what St. Paul talks about when he's talking to the Corinthians in his first letters, chapters 1 and 2, where he says, no, what we look at as suffering, which is sort of defeat and loss, now God is turning that around for his purposes in order to bless you, even though you can't see how. Why is it called the theology of the cross? Because, well, when we are suffering, we are brought close to the cross of Christ. We share in his sufferings. His sufferings embrace ours. And what the cross shows us is that there is no place so low, no place dark, so that's so dark that we can be far away from God. No, wherever we are in the hand of God, even when we feel like we're hanging on the cross ourselves. And sometimes, you know, life can be pretty dark. We can be assured that just as Jesus hung on the cross there, so we share in that dark, difficult, painful experience with him. And because of that sharing with him and being attached to him in faith, we arise with him in resurrection. We rise with him in new hope. So it's a hopeful theology. It's a theology which helps to lead us through darkness, through suffering, through depression, into a new place. And it helps not us to hang on to God, but it shows us how God is already hanging on to us.
Along those same lines, it seems to me that Luther, a monk, being steeped in the Psalms, including all the Psalms of Lament, would use those Psalms to deal with people suffering from depression. Is that true?
Indeed. Luther knew the Psalms very, very well. He wrote and meditated more on the Psalms than any other book of the Bible. And in his pastoral care with people who were suffering with depression, he used the Psalms more than any other biblical source. Very interestingly, when you read what Luther has written to people with depression, he's often quoting the Lament Psalms. He's saying he's using these Psalms as a way for himself and for the depressed person to be able to voice to God their own pain, their own suffering internally. Because one of the things with depression is that it is an invisible and yet very severe form of suffering and pain. You suffer inwardly, you ache inwardly in a way which is indescribable. And the psalmist is one of those, the psalmist is frequently one of those persons who can voice that deep voice of pain and despair. And so the thing is that Luther realized is that a lament is not a cry into the darkness, it's a cry to God. And when you voice your lament to God, it's God who hears and responds and comes to your aid.
One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 13 with its refrain, "How long, O Lord?" It's not a cry of doubt, but it's a cry of expectation. How long, O Lord, before you actually come and deliver us?
Yeah, it's like a child and a parent. I remember when one of my children was very sick and in pain, lying in hospital. And this is one of the questions he asked me. He said, "Dad, how long is this going to hurt this much?" You know, and he asked me that. And when he asked me that, that question ripped my heart out. And this is the story with us and God too. When we cry out to God from our agony and we say, "How long am I going to have to endure this?" God's heart responds to us. In fact, God's heart has already responded to us. He sent us Jesus. He sent us Jesus as the one who would come into our darkness, come into our pain and share it, redeem it with his forgiveness, with his redemption, and bring us a new hope and a new life. And so I think that dimension of faith, that lament dimension of faith, is a very important thing that depressed people often are blessed greatly by learning to do that, because then the pain has some way to find its way to God. And God provides that through those wonderful prayers in the Psalms.
Most of those Psalms end with joy. And you talk about in your book, almost ironically, that in the midst of depression, one can experience joy.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. Joy is, we often think of joy in terms of happiness, but actually they're two very different things. Just a little story that from my pastoral ministry, I look back on that and I think of the number of times that I sat with people planning the funeral of their loved one, sitting with a family whose parent has died, or even, you know, a young family where one of the parents has died. And we sit around planning the funeral, and sooner or later the photograph album comes out. And as we look at the photographs together and talk together and pray together, two things happen. There's tears, but there's also, strangely, as we look at those photographs, as we feel thankful for the person's life, there's also laughter. And it's interesting that Luther once said, "Laughter is never very far away. It's always waiting at your elbow to be invited to join the conversation." And in depression, one of the strange things is that people will often experience a joy, unexpected gifts of joy, as a great depression breaker. So to read a portion of scripture, or to come along to church and sing a hymn they particularly love, or to receive or hear some sort of beautiful music. Or I had one man who said to me that one of the things that which brought him joy, and he wasn't sure why, was to go and walk in the forest, because the forest was so much bigger than he was that he just felt enfolded in it. God gives us all sorts of sources of joy. He gives us outward joy, but of course he gives us that wonderful, joyful news of his continuing, caring, redeeming presence in our lives. Even we feel that the whole thing is over. Yes, God can break in with joy. It's a spiritual, supernatural gift. We can't be happy all the time in life. People chase that constantly. But we can receive God's wonderful, supernatural gift of joy. And if we're open to it and we learn to be open to it, that can be a wonderful depression breaker.
Can I switch gears on us now and bring us down to today? Some Christians, and even some Lutherans, would say that if you believe in Jesus Christ, You should never feel depressed or suffer from depression. How would you respond to this?
Yeah, this kind of triumphalist theology is the opposite of the theology of the cross. It's what Luther calls a theology of glory, where we as Christians think that all suffering in life and all difficulty in life can be overcome simply and easily through faith, and that we should never have any reason to feel upset or depressed. And I think that that's actually a very destructive and false kind of view of things, because suffering will come to your life. There's nothing surer. You don't have to go looking for it. It'll come looking for you. Suffering will happen, and sooner or later, no matter how positive you are, and no matter how you take a positive view of life, and even as a Christian, you're going to encounter the difficulty of this broken world, which our sins against each other, our sins against ourselves, cause us immense suffering and difficulty. So I think it's in many ways a bit of a denial of reality, and a kind of way of looking at the Christian faith, which actually is meant to empower people, but strangely disempowers them through not telling the truth, not being honest.
I think our society suffers from that as well. We live in a world that tells us you don't need to feel any depression or guilt or any shame. But many people still come to me and say, "Why am I having these feelings? How can this message of God in the midst of suffering speak to them?"
Yeah, and the first answer to that question is, yeah, you're absolutely right. And this is Luther's theology, and this is biblical too. Yeah, sin and suffering is absolutely real. Don't be surprised when it comes to you, because it comes to every human being on earth. And the question for Christians though is, in the midst of that suffering, what does God say to us? How does God minister to us? Our suffering is real, but God's grace and God's help is also real. So I guess it's that law and gospel thing again, is that when we're tempted to go down this glory of theology pathway, that always leads people into a darker place, because eventually sin, suffering and difficulty in life will visit them, and they won't be able to overcome it. They won't be able to deny it. It will deny them. And this is where I think it's just very important to simply be honest and straightforward about it. The great thing about it is that we don't have to stay there. Somebody else is able to minister to us from outside, and that's Jesus Christ.
In your research, did Luther talk about the sacraments and how they might help people dealing with depression? And how can we as pastors today use the sacrament to bring comfort to those who are suffering?
Yeah, well, you know, that's an excellent question. One of the main conclusions that I make in my book on this is that some of the best pastoral care we can give to a depressed person is to bring them to worship. Because if you look at our divine service, it's actually an enormous kind of instrument in God's hands for the transaction where he takes our sin and death and gives us his life and salvation. In public worship, the preaching of the word, God's word goes out. It comes into a person's heart, comes into a person's ears. And very often I recall from my own days of depression that some of the great lifelines that were thrown out to me by my pastor at that time came through his sermons, where some phrase or some sentence in his sermon for some reason broke right through my depressive shell and got to me. And very often, as you say, John, the sacraments are extremely important. Going to the Lord's table, we receive something real there. We receive Jesus' true body and blood, and that is a gift which brings us close to him, brings us close to the cross. There we meet Christ of the cross, the one who shares our suffering overcomes our suffering, brings comfort to us in the very depths of our being. And so bringing people to worship, bringing people to the Lord's Supper is extremely important. I had in my student days in the congregation where I was a member at that time, there was a deeply depressed lady who didn't want to be at church really, but her two friends in the congregation brought her. And by the time Holy Communion came in the service, this lady was beginning to weaken, and so her two friends would, one on either side, would bring her up to the communion rail, help her kneel down and receive communion, help her get up, and they would take her then back to her seat. And I thought, what a beautiful parable that is of the way in which God's holy community, the church, supports and brings people to Christ. You know that story in the Gospels of the man who's crippled. And so two of his friends put him on a stretcher. They can't get to Jesus through the doorway of the house, and so they take him up onto the roof and dig a hole in the roof and lower him down. This is very important, the aspect of community and friendship and support.
And also as a pastor or a church leader, how vital do you think it is for us when we deal with our flocks to say that we go through our own tough times as well?
Yeah, well, one of the remarkable things you can learn from Luther's letters is how he talks about his own experience. And it's interesting how when we as leaders in the church show our vulnerability, it often has the opposite effect to the one that we think it will have. We think that people will respect us less, or that it will compromise our ability to give them spiritual leadership. But of course, they might look at us and see our weaknesses, and we might allow people a glimpse of our own suffering with depression and other things. That actually shows people that we are human, and more importantly, it shows them that just like everyone else, we are dependent on Christ alone, on his grace. We live by grace, and so we're living what we're also preaching.
If someone were to come to me and say that they were suffering from depression, there are some in the Christian community who would advise that no medication or psychiatric help should be sought. What would you say to that?
Yeah, well, of course, interestingly, depression is one aspect of it, definitely is that it's got to do with neurochemistry. Studies are increasingly showing that when depression is diagnosed properly, treated properly with appropriate medication and monitored properly, and then the person is given some kind of support, counselling and pastoral care, those two things work together in combination. God gave us doctors and God gave us medical science, just as God gives us our means of spiritual help and support. And God's working with his left and his right hand through both of those means.
If someone comes to me and says, Pastor, I'm depressed, what advice would you give me to help them?
Yeah, well, I would say listen and get them talking. Support them. Be prepared to make the initiative to check on them. If they haven't sought some kind of primary medical care, helping them get to a doctor to be assessed would be a helpful thing. Very often, though, I mean, people have already taken some steps when they come to you as the pastor, but to be a caring, open pastor, ready to share, ready to speak the word, ready to be compassionate, and to be patient with that person, because depression is not like one of these things which... It's not like a problem which has its normal narrative arc. You know, I've got this problem. Well, let's work on the problem and get rid of it, find the resolution for the problem, and then go on with life. Depression doesn't work like that. Depression is something which often develops, takes root, and then the person goes through a much longer journey, usually. A journey which can, you know, sometimes be years long. And so having patience and love enough to go on that long journey with them is important. The other thing I would say is don't offer them false, easy answers. Take their suffering seriously, because it is serious, and give it the time and attention that it needs. I think that praying for the person, even if they're not able to deal with the fact that you pray with them, praying for them is one of the most important things that you can do. Yeah, it's every situation is different, and I think that that's actually one of the most important pieces of wisdom that Luther would pass on to us too, is that there are no panaceas, there's no universal thing. You have to sort of come to understand the illness and understand the person and respond to them appropriately as you're able to from an informed position.
Now, if one of our listeners is suffering from depression, what words of comfort do you have for them?
No matter how dark it is, and no matter how deep you feel you've fallen down, you still have not fallen out of God's hand.
Dr. Peach, thank you so much for these marvelous insights about Luther and his work of consolation with those suffering from depression. Your book, Of Good Comfort, can be purchased at Amazon, but we can't let you go without giving you a chance to tell us about the Australian Lutheran College and what it is that you do there.
Yeah, I'm a lecturer at Australian Lutheran College, located in Adelaide in Australia, South Australia. We're a small theological college and seminary. We have three schools inside the college. One is the School of Pastoral Theology, and that's the school that trains pastors. That's where I do most of my work. We also have the School of Educational Theology, which is the school which gives supplementary Lutheran theological training to teachers so that they can become teachers in Lutheran schools in Australia. And the third school is the School of Theological Studies, which is a school for anybody who wants to come in and study theology in order to become a lay worker or a worker inside the church in some other area. So those are those three schools that we have there, and we have we're a small college. We have at any one time across the three schools up to only about 80 or 90 students, but we also have postgraduate students. We have other students who are studying for their master's degree and even their doctorates with us. We're attached to and are part of wider ecumenical collegiate university in Australia called the University of Divinity. And UD are based in Melbourne, and we're one of their 15 theological colleges. And so we share in some of the synergies that can be obtained through working with a bigger group, and they are able to offer us some overarching resourcing and support, which is a great thing.
Please take our warmest greetings back to your colleagues at the Australian Lutheran College, who have so graciously shared their professors with us here at Westfield House. We do indeed value our friendship and our fellowship with your institution and with the brothers and sisters in Christ in the Lutheran Church Australia. May God use the work that you and the LCA are doing to bring glory to his kingdom.
Thank you, John. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.